Welcome to The Roar, your monthly gateway to the captivating world of Australian deer. Join us as we explore the latest news and events shaping landscapes of wild deer across Australia. Tune in for your monthly dose of all things deer, exclusively on the Australian Deer Podcast. Joining us today is Sean Kilkenny, the Lead of Advocacy and Deer Management with the Australian Deer Association. Welcome, Sean.
Thanks, Paul. Good to be with you today. And today marks the first of our Raw podcast. Would you like to explain to people what we hope to achieve with this new format?
Yeah, no problems at all. The Raw will be a monthly update on the latest news and events regarding wild deer in Australia. A short and easy to consume podcast that keeps you informed and up to date on the latest topics.
There you go. Well, that should be well received by the deer hunters out there. Looking forward to this, and we're excited to hear some people's feedback about what they might like to hear and any subjects that they would like to for us to deep dive on.
Yep. And speaking of which, Sean, what are the three areas we're going to be covering today?
So today we're going to touch off on the Animal Care and Protection Bill, the goings on with the Central Highlands and the land tenure issue there in Victoria. And then finally, we'll wrap it up with the fallout from the Tasmanian election.
Beautiful. Okay, so we'll get straight into it. The Animal Care and Protection Bill, what is it and what is it replacing?
So basically, the Animal Care and Protection Bill is replacing the Prevention of Cruelties to Animals Act, which was originally written in 1986. So this new Care and Protection Bill is designed to replace that and effectively look at it through a new lens of not necessarily just the prevention of cruelty, but then also to consider moving from animal welfare to animal rights.
Okay. So what's the potential significance and its impacts on deer hunters?
So this is an interesting one where it changes the way that animals are viewed within the legislative framework. There's the movement from welfare to rights is fairly significant. That's something that was seen throughout society as a whole already. That has many implications about the onus that's placed on people that are responsible for animals being a bit more broad than what it was in the past. This is where it gets interesting with deer hunting per se, where under the current Prevention of Cruelties to Animals Act, the activity in of itself of hunting is currently exempt from the Act. So the Act doesn't actually cover it. We obviously have then game regulations that manage that. So there's no ability for people to not have any or be absolved of responsibility for animal welfare, but it's handled in a different way. One of the things that we fought for really hard on this was to ensure that that remained. So there's kind of like an inherent contradiction between like an animal welfare perspective and then the reality that you harvest an animal. That sort of doesn't reconcile. And so our argument is that, well, ultimately, you actually shouldn't have this in the Act at all, even if you provide an exception to the Act, which is what they've done, which is good, but not including it at all, having it, you know, adjacent is ideal. But the reality is, with the exception, that effectively nothing will change or should change for recreational deer hunting, which is quite good news and it was a pretty significant win on our behalf.
Beautiful. Looking forward, what's the time frame for the completion of the bill to become an act?
So they've just finished one of the latest consultation / feedback sessions. I wouldn't expect rewriting or the passing of this through parliament for probably another couple of years. So it's a bit of a slower burn, but we are getting to the pointy end of this whole process.
There's been some movement with the end of native timber harvesting and associated potential changes to land tenure. The current focus on the Central Highlands area. Sean, would you like to elaborate?
Yes, there's a bit to unpack on this one. People are obviously aware of the concept of the Great Forest National Park, and the whole purpose, or one of the original purposes on people campaigning to create the Great Forest National Park, was as a way or a means to end the native timber harvesting industry in Victoria, which obviously did a lot of its work through that Central Highlands Big River State forest. If a land changes tenure to a national park, clearly you can't then continue logging operations, which would then effectively break the economic model of the timber harvest and then prevent it from happening. As a result, before that could actually eventuate, with the creation of a park, there was a decision to end timber harvesting in Victoria regardless, and that came into effect on 1 January. So whilst in the past people were advocating for a Great Forest National Park to prevent native timber harvesting from continuing, that's now been stopped regardless. So in effect, the wind's been taken out of the sail for the creation of that park, because their ultimate goal of stopping native timber harvesting has occurred.
Yep.
Where it ties into land tenure, which is where we come into play, is for the most part, all of the logging occurred on state forest. In state forest is where you can undertake a wide variety of recreational activities, in particular deer hunting with dogs, be it hounds or gun dogs. Should that land tenure change post native timber harvesting to something else, then there would be a consequence for the activities that are allowed to operate or be conducted within those certain land tenures. That's something that a lot of people aren't necessarily aware of, because they just think, oh, you change the land tenure, here's a new name, everything continues on as it were. But no, the devil is in the detail, and should there be a change, there would be consequences to land users.
Yep. And then the fight would be on to then get access to the newly formed national park.
Let's just say that they did create a national park, and we don't know how big it was or where it was or whatever, but let's just conceptually work with that. There would be a consequence where no one with a dog would be able to hunt or even bring your dog into that park.
Yeah.
Like personally, I've got a gun dog. That would mean that I couldn't go there with my pointer because it's a national park. There'd be hound crews that couldn't go to where they were possibly before. People that normally camped that would have dogs wouldn't have access to those same areas under the same circumstances. So the creation of that would be a big change agent for a lot of people. And that's something that we're working really hard with government about, addressing those concerns.
And how's that looking at the moment?
Recently, we've actually got some fairly good news out of the government with the creation of the Great Outdoors Task Force. This task force in of itself is focused on ensuring, or working towards, the recognition and acknowledging the role that recreational users of the land have a say, and that they are stakeholders in deciding future land tenures and what that looks like, which is quite exciting. So we've been working on this for, well, probably a year. Obviously, Great Forest National Park has been going on for the best part of a decade regardless, but things have come to a head much more recent, and we've been fortunate enough to be working quite hard focusing on this issue about the consequences. And that's where the government have then taken a step forward and recognised recreational deer hunters. So the ADA got a nod on that, but also other bush users such as the four-wheel drivers and fishers, that, hey, you guys use this land, you're effectively the number one stakeholder of it from a recreational point of view now. We want to make sure that we can engage and speak with you to try and decide what we will do moving forward.
Yep. So it sounds fairly positive at this stage.
Look, it's certainly much better than what it was, say, 8 months ago. The creation of that task force was not an accident. The government do things on purpose, so it's quite positive that they have done that. Over the next probably month or so, as the details start to get filled out on this task force and what it's undertaking and its goals, that's where we'll be in a much more, clarity will be provided. But the reality is, yeah, I'm much happier now than I was probably, say, 6 months ago.
So at this stage, we're sitting back, waiting to see what unfolds.
It's a good early sign, and it's positive. But look, that doesn't mean that there's any guarantee of anything. But we are much better off with this task force recognising our activities than one that doesn't.
Thanks for that update, Sean. Across the Bass Strait, there's been an election down in Tasmania. Can you give us a recap on that situation, please?
There was an early election held by the local Liberal government there, literally just over the last few days, with the results slowly trickling through after all the preferences and what have been finalised. It looks like the Liberals are unable to create a government on their own, and they'll then form one with supply guaranteed effectively from the Jackie Lambie network. The 14 Liberal seats, 3 Jackie Lambies brings them to 17. Technically, they need 18. There's 3 independents now that they'll start to talk to because they'll effectively need one of them. And that looks like that'll probably be what the government, yeah, consists of, or at least the minority government moving forward for the next few years down in Tassie.
So at this stage, do you foresee any changes in relation to hunting down in Tasmania?
I wouldn't say that there would be off the cuff. Prior to the election, through a lot of ongoing advocacy work with ADA and our local representative there, Mr. Scott Freeman, we got a pretty good sense of engagement from the government. And also now, prior to the election, we got a good set of commitments about working together on the advisory committees and implementing the wild deer strategy. There were good signs there, and effectively that there wasn't a desire for change from the current set of circumstances. There is a wild deer strategy there that runs out till 2027 that we worked hard to get up, and that was actually quite widely accepted by virtually all stakeholders. The devil in the detail is always how those strategies and policies then get implemented. So it looks like providing accountability and being a part of implementing that strategy will be where the cut and thrust is moving forward there. So it's not too bad of a position at the moment.
Now that we've covered the three subjects for today, it's time to wrap it up. Thanks for your time today, Sean, and we'll catch up next month.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Paul. See you all soon.
The Raw on the Australian Deer Podcast, brought to you by the Australian Deer Association, proudly in partnership with Stony Creek.